Our scripture reading tonight is found in the 6th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 6. All right, out of respect for the Word of God, let's stand together as I begin reading with verse 30. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things did the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. Tonight's message is entitled, Four Reasons to Put Worry in Its Place. Now, Jesus told us that each day has enough evil to concern us without adding to it by worrying about the future. According to Strong's Concordance, the word evil in verse 34 means badness. I just thought that was interesting. You ever heard of a day that was full of badness? And it also gives the word malignity. And certainly we're reminded that we have a malignant enemy, Satan, that opposes us. And it also means trouble. Badness, malignity, and trouble. And there's never a shortage of trouble. In Job 14:1, Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Now, that verse either means that as soon as we're born, there's trouble, or it means that because our lifetime compared to eternity is just a few days, it's full of trouble. Regardless, trouble is a part of life. And there is sufficient badness, sufficient evil, sufficient malignity, and sufficient trouble for each and every day without adding to it with anxiety and worry. Now, to understand what Jesus taught, we have to understand what words mean, as well as the context in which Jesus is speaking. Take no thought, for example, look at verse number 34 again. Take no thought, take therefore no thought for the morrow. Now, take no thought does not mean that a Christian should live haphazardly, without any concern, carelessly, or without any planning or preparation for the future. But rather, the Bible says that to behave in such a manner would be foolish and lazy. We're told to go to the ant. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise, which having no guide, overseer, or ruler, provideth her meat in the summer and gathereth her food in the harvest. And so the ant is lifted up as a role model for us to prepare for the future, to prepare for the winter months in times of plenty, to lay by for the times of leanness. And so Jesus was not saying, don't think about anything but today or don't make any plans for the future. But rather the expression take no thought simply means to not be anxious or to carry around anxiety concerning the future. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't be racked with concern concerning tomorrow. James said, you know not what shall be on the morrow. I mean, tomorrow things might be far better than you expected. Tomorrow things might come through. Tomorrow things might change. That's why you should never quit until it's over, because you never know how things will turn out. You don't know what tomorrow holds. And so sufficient to the day is the evil thereof without adding to it, by adding worry and anxiety. Now, this verse, of course, must be taken in context. He said, take therefore. So, we got to go back and find wherefore. It's therefore. And it goes all the way back to verse 19. And Jesus was preaching about treasure and the heart. And all of this is about living with the proper priorities and the proper understanding of life and having eternal values. Notice verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal.
But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Now, is Jesus saying that we should not have savings accounts, rainy day funds, retirement plans, IRAs, money stuffed under the mattress? Is that what Jesus is saying? No. He's drawing a comparison. He's showing either or. Now, some folks, they lay up all their treasure on earth, and they've got to constantly worry about someone stealing it. They've got to worry about it getting corrupted. They've got to worry about that car getting wrecked. They've got to worry about that house burning down or getting flooded. They have to worry about the dollar decreasing in value. And by the way, can I tell you something? Before us younger folks reach retirement, the dollar is not going to be worth what it's worth now. And it's not worth now what it used to be worth. Brother Chandler told me he bought a car for, what, $25 once? You can't even buy a part for $25 most of the time now. And so we have to worry about, what's that IRA going to be worth? Will my Social Security exist? Will I even have a country left? That's all things we have to be concerned about. But that's what happens when all your treasures are on earth. You have to live, your heart is on earth, your focus is on earth, and you have no focus on God or eternity. And so Jesus said you're to lay up treasures in heaven. No one steals up there. It's not going to be corrupted. It's not going to lose its value. You're not going to lose your investment. And you don't have to be concerned about it. And he said that where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Then notice in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Now, is this verse saying that mammon or money has no part in our lives? No. He's saying we can't serve that and serve God. Now, if you get your priorities right and you put God first and you serve the Lord, money will find its proper place. God might even increase your ability to earn money as long as your heart is right. But when a man loves money or loves mammon, God does not find a place in his life. His life is totally focused on making and keeping money. And so he says you can make God your master and serve the Lord, and money and your job and your career will find its proper place. But when you serve mammon, you're not going to serve the Lord. God will not be your priority. God will not be your first love, because money will take that preeminent place that God should hold. Now, he said in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Now, is Jesus saying, never buy clothes, never buy food? That's not what Jesus is saying. But he's saying, don't live for food. I mean, that's how animals live. Animals get up, what am I going to eat today? Am I going to have to go graze? Am I going to have to go catch something? And he goes on to say, that's how the Gentiles live. I got to get up, I got to have food, I got to have clothes, I got to have money. And that's all they're focused on. He said, but rather, he said, there is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. In other words, isn't there more to life? Did God make us in His image? Am I not an eternal creature? Am I not created to worship the Lord? So is my life only for eating and drinking and buying clothes and mammon and stuff? Is that the whole purpose of my life? No. Jesus said in another place that a man's life consisteth not in the things that he possesseth. So it's important for us to have a proper understanding for the purpose of life. Now notice in verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Now, here's a key thought tonight. Living like this is evidence of little faith. Constantly being anxious, constantly worrying, constantly being afraid of the future and carrying around that extra weight is evidence of a lack of faith. O ye of little faith. Living by faith requires us to trust God with today and tomorrow. Now, worrying is natural. It's easy. Living by faith is supernatural. It's not easy. And yet the Christian is called to live by faith, to live a supernatural life that helps the Christian to overcome anxiety. Now, full disclosure, anxiety is something I have trouble with. Worry is something I have trouble with. Because I'm trying to always look ahead. Sometimes I think I look further ahead than what's right in front of me, but I worry. I have a family that depends on me. I have a church that depends on me. And you try balancing or bearing the financial burden of starting a church and going through tough times with your family depending. It's not easy, and I worry about stuff. And I get anxious sometimes. But I've got to remember what Jesus said, you see, and so do you. What is my job? Notice verse 33. Oh, the irony of reading this verse on a Wednesday night. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's our priority. First things first. I am to seek God's will first in everything. And I'm to do God's will. I'm going to put God first all the time, and I am to do right. I'm to seek His righteousness. I'm to seek what He considers righteous, and I'm to do the right thing. So I'm to seek God, put God first, do the right thing. You say, what are you going to do tomorrow? I'm going to seek God, put God first, and do the right thing. But what if things don't work out? I'm going to seek God, put God first, and do the right thing. And trust God with the consequences of seeking Him, putting Him first, and doing the right thing. You see, when I get away from that, and I start getting worried about how I'm going to pay for this, how am I going to accomplish that, how will I deal with this, how will I face that, all of a sudden my fear begins to dominate me, and I'm no longer considering whether I should put God first. I'm trying to figure out how I can work this out without God. You see. Well, should I tithe or should I pay for this? See, that's a big problem for some people. When you put God first, a lot of your decisions are already made. Anxiety and fear are distracting and disquieting. But faith can bring peace. It is possible for the Christian to have a peace that passes understanding, that keeps the heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Now, the whole point of this passage is that the Christian should trust in the Father's care. Trust in the Father's care. Let me give you four reasons tonight why we should put worry in its place. Number one, worry is unnecessary. Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, sufficient means I don't need anything else. It is not necessary that I have anxiety, worry, and fear. Sufficient for me is what I'm going to deal with without adding to it anxiety and fear. I don't have to carry it. Now, some burdens I have to carry each day, and so do you. They're necessary. Galatians 6 says that every man shall bear his own burden. What did you do today? You went to work, you homeschooled your kids, you're running around all over the place, you're taking care of your responsibilities. Those are your burdens to bear. Every man shall bear his own burden. I can't do your job, you can't do my job, I can't be the father for your family, only you can be the father for your family, only you can be the wife in your home, only you can be the mother in your home. Only you can take care of that responsibility. That's your burden to bear. But when we add anxiety, it's like going through all of those burdens and responsibilities while carrying an extra 20-pound weight the whole time. Now, you can tell that I work out a lot. But it's like carrying this around all day. Now, for a few minutes, it's not so bad. You switch it from hand to hand. But after a while, it's really going to wear you out. After a while, my arm is going to get sore. After a while, I'm going to start shaking. I mean, carrying an extra 20 pounds around all day as I'm going about my responsibilities and taking care of my burdens and bearing my God-given responsibilities, my obligations in life. But anxiety is like carrying that extra 20 pounds around. It is not helping us. It is nothing but in the way. And it's not changing anything. And it's not fixing anything. It simply adds to the burden an unnecessary weight. Far better just to put it down and learn to trust the Lord. Now, God promised us strength sufficient for the day. Deuteronomy 33, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Many days, looks like many of you, it seems like you're going 24-7, all kinds of things going on. I've leaned heavily on those verses. How can I get up and go and do this? How can I work another hour? How can I work day and night? And you trust in God's strength because He said, as thy days, so shall thy strength be. Adding anxiety only adds an unnecessary weight. So what do I do with that unnecessary weight? Well, the Bible says, casting all your care upon Him. Catch, Junior. Casting all your... I don't think I should throw this, but... I'll just let the altar represent the cross. I'm to cast all my care. I'm tired of carrying this around. It's an unnecessary burden in my life. I have enough evil, I have enough trouble, I have enough badness to deal with already without carrying this extra anxiety. I'm just going to bring it to the Lord. Cast my care upon Him. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to go about my responsibilities and take care of my necessary burdens. And I'm going to trust God with that because, hey, anxiety and worry, it's an unnecessary part of our life. Then secondly, it's unworthy. Not only is it unnecessary, it's unworthy. Now, we're not going to read all these verses again, but God said He feeds the birds. And God said that He clothes the flowers. There's something on Netflix right now where you can watch pictures of flowers. It's really pretty. I just turned it on to have something on one and just trying to doze off. And it's amazing how God made the flower. They're just gorgeous. And it was all high def. And you see these flowers opening and closing, all the colors inside that you don't normally... It's beautiful. And Jesus said that Solomon in all his glory is not arrayed like these. God did that. And God makes the grass grow and God feeds the birds. And He said, are you not better than them? Now the environmentalist wackos, they would disagree with Jesus on that. And say, oh no, we're down here and all the animals and salamanders and bugs are way up here. But from God's perspective, only man, only human beings have infinite value. And how much more when you're a child of God, when you're saved? Now, do we consider, now get this, do we consider how our lack of faith insults God? Jesus said, we feed the birds, we clothe the lilies, we make the grass grow. He said, can't you trust us, O ye of little faith? That was not a compliment. It was a correction. It was a rebuke. Have we ever considered how our lack of faith insults God? Well, I always find it a little insulting when people question my character, but hey, I could actually be wrong. It happened twice. Once I was wrong, and once I thought I was wrong, and I was wrong about that. So that's two mistakes. But it insults my character. And you know, you've known me for years, and you can't trust me with this, you can't trust me with that. Who do you think I am? But when God promises us something, and we refuse to trust Him with it, what an insult that must be to the Lord, that we don't have greater trust in His character. So worry is unworthy of God's character. Shouldn't I trust my Heavenly Father? Shouldn't I depend upon Him? And yet we find this to be a constant problem among God's people. Remember Abraham? God brought him safely all the way from Ur of the Chaldees, all the way halfway across the world back then to the Promised Land. As soon as a famine came, what did Abraham do? I think I better take things matters in my own hands. I'm not going to ask God. I'm just going to go down to Egypt. Honey, you're a good-looking woman. Make sure you tell them you're my sister. It's a half-truth. You're my half-sister. That way they won't kill me. And there was a little bit of a justification for that because she was a gorgeous woman and Pharaoh did want her to be his wife, but he didn't trust that God could protect him. He ended up embarrassing himself and putting Sarah in a compromising position. And then years later, he did it again. Because when he was worried and when he was concerned, he was anxious about what might be, what they could do, what possibly might happen, he said, I've got to make sure that I have crossed all my T's and dotted all my I's, so I'm going to take matters into my own hand. And what did he do? He messed up. And what an insult that is to God's character. Notice two things that God does according to what Jesus said here. First, God knows. God knows. Verse 32 says, Your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. So God knows what I need, and God knows what you need. Amen? And then God cares. He illustrated that by feeding the birds and showing that He would feed us. Clothing the flowers, and He will clothe us. And if you look over at Matthew 7, you see this expanded on. Matthew 7 and verse 9. What man is there of you whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? That'd be a pretty lousy dad, wouldn't it? And then he said, if you will ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? My kids are like, and if I ask for ice cream, will you give me a no? But no, that's not in there. But if you ask a fish, I wouldn't give you a serpent. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? And so He's teaching us that God knows and God cares, and if we would just ask, God would not deprive us of the basic necessities of life. He would not be cruel to us, and He would not be unjust with us. And if we would only learn to trust Him, instead of living in such an unworthy manner of a lack of faith in our Heavenly Father. Thirdly, worry is unhealthy. It's unhealthy. Verse 27, Jesus said, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? If you're anxious about how tall you are, you think your anxiety is going to make you grow? I'm just going to think myself taller. I'm going to worry myself taller. You can't add 18 inches to your stature by worrying yourself. And by the way, don't worry about things you can't change. If God made you short, be happy you're short. You've got this Hollywood mentality. Everyone's got to be John Wayne, 6'4". You know the most decorated soldier in American history was Audie Murphy. He was 5'5", 110 pounds. Marines didn't want him. He's too small. Navy didn't want him. He's too small. The Army said, well, you're breathing. We'll throw you out there. And he won every medal they had and several foreign country medals. And 5'5", 110 pounds, soaking wet. It's not how big we are that matters. It's how it's what's on the inside, and that's and so you don't worry about things you can't change. But worry won't make you any taller or stronger, but it will shorten your life and it will harm your health. Anxiety. These are things I read on some medical websites today. Anxiety will affect your appetite, either taking it away or increasing it. By the way, that's something I had to be real honest with myself about. Constantly battling my weight. And you know what? One reason why I ate too much is because I was always worried, anxious, depressed, and food was something I did to feel good. It was. And I had to face up to that when I finally understood what I was doing. Wednesday night, attendance is low, I'm discouraged. I'm going to eat 5 pizzas. Make me feel better until about 2 in the morning. But it'll affect your appetite, or it'll take your appetite away. You'll starve yourself. It'll cost you sleep and rest. I can't tell you how many sleepless nights I've had tossing and turning. My wife says, get out of bed, you know. And sitting on a couch trying to go to sleep at night because I've got something's hurting in here or something's anxious up here and it just eats away at me and I lose sleep. Anxiety may lead you to engage in destructive habits such as drinking, smoking, or using drugs. And I have not done that, but anxiety affects the nervous system. It exhausts the body. It suppresses the immune system, makes you get sick more, causes digestive disorders, affects the physical heart, causes muscle tension, which leads to exhaustion, causes insomnia and headaches, and makes you feel stressed out, can lead to depression, and even thoughts of suicide, and can affect your relationships with others, making you irritable, harsh, negative. We get so consumed with tomorrow that we can't even enjoy the good things that happen today. Now Jesus said, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. All the badness you're going to need to handle. But hey, the Bible also says that the earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. It's not that everything's bad. It's just you're going to have enough bad without adding to it. But there's also plenty of good that you could have joy from and rejoice in. But man, when you're all anxious and worried, you can't enjoy a sunset. You go out to eat with your spouse and you can't enjoy the meal. You spend a day with your family and you're not enjoying what they're doing because all you're thinking about is not today. You're thinking about tomorrow, and it's not healthy. It's not healthy. And so it's not it's unnecessary, it's unworthy, it's unhealthy. And then fourthly, it's unproductive. Now, proper planning for the future is productive. Worry and anxiety are not productive. Worry doesn't add a cubit to your stature. Worry doesn't make your bank account increase. Worry doesn't make anything better. Brother Losey passed on a joke to me, though. He said, don't tell me worry doesn't work. Nothing I ever worry about happened. So it must have been worry that caught. But worry doesn't keep bad stuff from happening. It only keeps us from enjoying the good that is happening. Worry doesn't empty tomorrow of its problems. It only empties today of its strength. Worrying is like sitting in a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but you're not going anywhere. Most of the time, what we worry about doesn't even happen. All it did was hurt us, make us unproductive, make us walk without faith. If anything, worry is more likely to do you bad than to do anything good in your life. Now, how should Christians deal with anxiety and worry? Well, number one, we should put God first, do right, and trust God with the outcome. I may not know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. So I must seek God first, trust the Lord, do the right thing, and trust God with the outcome. We should turn worry into an opportunity to pray. If it's really bothering you, why not spend some time in prayer about it? But why pray when you can worry? But I think we have a song that says, why worry when you can pray? You might be surprised after spending 2 or 3 minutes of prayer that it's a lot more beneficial to you than 30 or 40 minutes worrying. And all of a sudden, the peace of God comes because you turn your worry into an opportunity to pray. And then, let me say that constant worries may require lifestyle changes to deal with them. If you're constantly worried about your finances, don't just say, well, I'm just not going to worry about my finances anymore. I don't care what's in the account. I'm tired of worrying about it all the time. Well, it might be a wake-up call to say, you know, maybe we need to get on a family budget. And maybe we should read about the baby steps in Dave Ramsey's book. And maybe we should, you know, cut some of our spending and sell some of our stuff. You see, if I'm constantly worried about my finances and it's troubling our marriage and our family, maybe it's a wake-up call to change some things so that I can remove the cause of my worry and get things on track. Same thing with your health. If you're constantly worried about your health and constantly anxious about your health, it's time to take some steps to develop a healthier lifestyle. Now, I've lost 20 pounds. I even kept it off while in Indiana. And I can't tell you, I weighed 250 at the beginning of the year, and I weighed 230 this morning. And I can't tell you how much better I feel with just 20 pounds less. Mrs. Raspberry has us on the Trim Healthy Preacher Diet. THP. And she's my blue-eyed conscience. My dietary conscience. You can't have that. What do you mean I can't have the large fries? You can't have that. Isn't there somewhere this fits in the... Nope. And sometimes you just got to take steps. Go for a walk. Do some exercise. Quit bad habits. You know, if it's constantly worried, and it was making me very unhappy. I didn't want to stand up here in front of everyone at 250 pounds. I was embarrassed. Like, I do it 3 times a week, and it just is something that was hard on my heart and mind. Just being transparent tonight, take it for what it's worth. It was something that was causing me trouble and depressing my spirit. And so, hey, it's time. I could either say, well, I just don't care, or I could say, you know what, maybe it's time to take some steps and change some things so I can feel better. Junior, you need to get on that fast. I noticed you put on 2 or 3 ounces since I saw you last. If you're worried about school and tests, I'm so worried about these tests, I cannot. Some people can't take tests. Well, then maybe you ought to study more and work harder at it so that you take away the fear of that. You know how I learned to overcome my anxiety in preaching? Because I used to be scared to death to preach. Standing up in front of people horrified me. What I did was I learned to prepare so well that I knew what I was going to say. And even though, hey, this sermon, on legal-sized paper would be 10 pages long. So why do you write such detailed notes? Because that helps take the fear out for me by learning to prepare more so that I know and have some confidence that at least the very least I can do is stand here and read it to you. So sometimes you just have to take your anxiety out by preparing yourself more and studying harder. If you're worried about your career and future job opportunities, maybe it's time to do some night classes or take some on-the-job training classes you can do and improve your career opportunities, or maybe find another job. So these are just some practical ways you can learn to deal with anxiety. But more than anything, we have to learn to trust God. We have to learn to trust God. Let's put worry in its place and determine to trust the Lord and put our worries where they ought to be, at the foot of the cross, in the hands of God. And that peace that passes understanding will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.